So why do we keep Passover the way we keep Passover? Okay, this is a little different now. So the history of Passover observance has many interpretations and practices. In many observances of Passover, it was observed incorrectly. It was observed at the wrong day, sometimes even the wrong time of day, sometimes even the wrong manner. The Bible describes one wrong observance, and it's in Corinthians, when participants actually got drunk for Passover. I don't think we want to do that. The religion of Judaism, which most Jews follow, adopted the change in the date of Passover because Judaism essentially rejects His Majesty Jesus Christ as being our Lord and Savior. Currently in the church body, this ecclesia, this groups, we don't consider ourselves the only group in this body. The United Church of God doesn't. There are many of us in this group. But some of these different groups have different variations in how they observe Passover. So, and these variations are in, like, when to observe, what the symbols mean, you know, how to do it, and the timing and everything else. So we're going to try to go over the details of what we do or why, and why we do it and how it's tied to the Bible. To give you a little information, I was talking to an elder friend of mine recently here, and he says there's a new group that believes your sins are only forgiven when you take, once a year, when you take of the bread and wine. Again, that is not a wrong, kind of a wrong thinking. This title of this message comes from 2 Chronicles 30, verse 5. We will be reading that in the message, but the title is Keeping Passover as It Was Written. And today we're going to go over four areas in the Bible and four areas of keeping Passover, the instruction part. The bread and the wine and the foot washing, as we heard, just an excellent message on the foot washing just now. Thank you, by the way, Mr. Perter, will actually come more at the service. So I'm going to go over the instruction of why we do what we do. Now, for many of you, this might be a review because Mr. Dowd covered much of this in the online Bible study. So let's see how good your memories are, okay? So area one, the first area in this thing of why we keep Passover or how we keep Passover as it is written is area one, Passover time and the Old Testament. Now, you'll see that on the handout, that area. Now, the handout is going to have some, I found a couple of articles in the Old Good News articles, and it's in there, and also a summary of some of these areas. So we'll refer to the handout when needed. In Revelation 13, and there's other places in Scripture that have this phrase, there's the phrase called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, if you dig into those words in the Greek, which I'm not going to do today, it actually refers to conception and cosmos, which is actually before pretty much anything existed. So we have God's plan, and then we have this, as soon as we have God's plan, I guess one of the first action items was we have to have a lamb slain. And it, in this plan, it was redeemed that one of the God beings that became Jesus Christ would be this slain lamb, and we'd be our Savior. We needed a Savior, and then, of course, conceptually, that is Passover. That is why we need a Passover observance was also planned. Passover's beginnings are actually found in that phrase. So one of the first things, maybe not the first thing, but one of the very first things that was ever done before anything was created or anything existed was this idea that we needed a Passover. There is strong evidence, though, the Savior or Redeemer or blood sacrifice or lamb slain was known since the Garden of Eden. And since it's been known and there's strong evidence to support that, and I'll read you some of that in a minute here, that he was slain before the foundation, this knowledge, wouldn't there also have been, logically, some kind of observance for that future event at that point in the Garden of Eden? It was a future event. In Genesis 18 and 19, maybe not all believers, but I do, but traditionally we have taught, and the commentaries, many of them will agree with what has been taught from the United, our church and other churches, that Abraham and Lot, in that case, about Sodom, they are actually celebrating or keeping the days of unleavened bread. And the days of unleavened bread usually include Passover. This is one of the first possible, I want to say possible, because it's not definitive. It talks about eating unleavened bread. It talks about not working. It talks about different things. And traditionally, commentaries and things have said that when the three angels visited Abraham, it was on the first day of unleavened bread. And when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, it was on the last day of unleavened bread. So in your handouts, there was a nice summary. I found a summary of the events in the Old Testament about the Passover in a Good News December 1980, good page 33. You can follow along in the handout, but it says, in Genesis 3:15, we find the first hint of a promised seed of the woman who was to conquer Satan. As early as Genesis 4:1-7, God indicated that he wanted a blood sacrifice, the slaying of an animal, pointing to the Christ sacrifice as the Lamb of God. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul, Leviticus 17:11. Then nearly 2,000 years before Jesus was born, Abraham showed that he was willing to offer his only legitimate son as a sacrifice, Genesis 22. This dramatic event prefigured what was to happen to the promised Son of God. Just as Abraham, the father of the faithful, gave Isaac his son of promise, God the Father was to give his son for us all. Remember the momentous events surrounding Israel from the Exodus, that's Exodus 12. Literally millions of Israelites prophetically pre-enacted what would happen to the Messiah nearly 15,000 years later. Or 1,500 years later. Each household set aside an unblemished male lamb or goat on the 14th day of Nisan. They killed it and poured out its blood. It is called the Lord's Passover. Turn to Exodus 12. Exodus 12, please. I should do that too. So in Exodus 12, you have the first written instructions on the Passover. I believe these are what we would call lost instructions, and God is re-giving them, that they had, like as they have been, as we talked, they had been here in the pre-flood, they were doing and before, and these were just lost times, and now he is giving these again, these dramatic events that happened. So, again, so many of you will read these passages, if you haven't already, before Passover observance. And we're not going to actually read all of them. We're just going to cover the ones that actually talk about the instruction of what to do, okay? Not the miracles and things like that. So the first round is the 12, is it verse 3 through 5. Let's read Exodus 12, 3 through 5. So speak to the children of Israel and say, on the 10th day of the month, every male shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father. A lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it accordingly to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, for you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male lamb of the first year. You may take from the sheep or from the goats. So it was a male lamb or goat that was taking without blemish, into the house on the 10th day. Exodus 12, verse 6. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole congregation, or the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel, shall kill it at twilight. It was very important on the 14th of the month, the lamb is killed at what we call twilight. Twilight is from when the sun sets until it is pitch black or dark at night. Roughly less than an hour. Some say even as low as 20 minutes, but it's less than an hour is when it should be killed. And you'll see how important this was to God later. Going down to Exodus 12:8, then you shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they ate it. So again, you eat the flesh in a roasted fire, you eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Exodus 12:10. None of it shall remain until morning. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. So none shall remain until morning. Passover is complete before morning or even earlier morning in ancient times started at daybreak. So it's before morning. Later in Scripture, we will see that the end of Passover is not precise, but typically it ends after the observances have been concluded. So it ends definitely before morning, if not before. And then Exodus 12:21, going down to Exodus 12:21. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel, and the Hebrew word there means men in authority, and said to them, pick out and take the lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. So again, Exodus 12:21, we read that the elders or men in authority were to kill the Passover lamb. Later, this would become the priest of Israel, and even today we have elders and deacons and others who actually perform the Passover service. Exodus 12:43-41 mentioned that men had to be circumcised and no one or no foreigner could eat the Passover. Now, Mr. Dowd sent out a Sabbath thought last night that really dives deep into this requirement. But administratively, the church has made a change that all baptized members can take Passover. And this is one of the verses that is referenced. Now, moving back up a little bit, we have in Exodus 12:29-42 are the details in Exodus of an instruction to keep a separate observance. This is a separate observance that some have confused with Passover. And we call it the night to be much observed. This observance is on the 15th of Abib, not the 14th. Let's cover one point in verse 29 that helps us with a possible timeline. That's Exodus 12:29. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Again, struck. The killing of the firstborn was a strike, like a hammer or a fist striking something. Now, I know many of us have seen the Ten Commandments movie, even the old Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston and all those folks, and it shows this fog creeping through Egypt and people dying slowly. That's nice. That's Hollywood. That's not what happened, okay? So it was a strike. It was pretty quick, and it happened fast. And so I have here a possible timeline that shows when Passover started and then when 15th of Abib. If you look in your handout, it's actually in the summary section. You'll see a grid. You'll see a grid of the timeline. And again, this is a guess. This is an educated guess. It's not, we don't have the exact timeline in Scripture. But at 14th at twilight, Passover begins. And then before midnight, the Passover ended at this one. Midnight, the firstborn are killed. And I'm guessing it took a couple of hours for Pharaoh to call Moses. And then Pharaoh said, you know, they came to Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh said, go from Egypt. And then from around possibly 6 a.m. throughout the day, they, what we call pillage Egypt, but it actually says that the Egyptians gave the treasures. And then then the Israelites leaves. They actually leave at the beginning of the 15th of Abib. They travel through the night to Sukkot. And this is the night that we call, the night of the 15th, we call the night to be much observed. The Bible says we observe this event because the Israelites traveled through the night and the Lord kept his promise by bringing the children out of Egypt, watched over them, and protected them. And then when you do your personal study, you'll find that Leviticus 23:4-6 is also very clear on the timeline of the 14th and 15th of Abib. And then also, Passover is so important to God that if you cannot keep the Passover at the normal appointed time, there is a second appointed time in the second month of the calendar, or a month called Lyar, L-Y-A-R. This is found in Numbers 9:9-11. Don't need to turn there, and other scriptures. If you're going to miss Passover and you need to take the second Passover, you may want to let the leadership, that would be the elders in the area, know. But it is set up that you can have a second Passover. So now to sum up this area, we're going to look at this area, we're going to sum it up. So this area of Passover time and the Old Testament. So Passover as a lamb slain, so that we can be saved from the death penalty of sin, has existed pretty much before anything else existed. Passover was probably observed since the Garden of Eden, and God gave the Israelites lost knowledge about Passover and special instructions for that particular night in Exodus. Passover is on Abib 14, starting at twilight, and the night to be much observed is on Abib 15. A second Passover, if required, is on Lar, the second month, the 14th, starting at twilight. All males must be circumcised and could not be a foreigner to eat the Passover. We have a ministry, or the church leadership has changed to all must be baptized. The elders are men in authority. Priests and now elders were called to actually perform or kill the lamb of Passover. The timeline of Exodus there shows, again, that Passover and the night to be much observed are different nights. The Passover meal was to be eaten in small groups or families, and Passover was to end before morning, if not earlier. We have sort of a backup of this in Hezekiah. Hezekiah gives us more information, and that's in turn to 2 Chronicles 30. I have it here. Hezekiah sets the example. So to finish up this area about Passover time in the Old Testament, we're going to look at this example in 2 Chronicles 30, and that's 1 through 5. And the Exodus details were to be followed. God, through Hezekiah, showed us the critical need to follow the Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy instruction. Let's read that now in 2 Chronicles 1 through 5. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. For the king and his leaders and all the assembly in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at the regular time because a sufficient number of priests had not consecrated themselves, nor had the people gathered together at Jerusalem. And this manner pleased the king and all the assembly. So they resolved to make a proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba to Dan that they should come to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, since they had not done it for a long time in the prescribed manner. And in some versions of the Bible, it'll say, as it was written. This example, I hope, helps us understand how critical it was that the Passover lamb be killed at the 14th of twilight, killed by the priest or by the men of authority. It was very important for that Passover and even for our Passover observance now. Let's move on to area two. This is area two, and that is Jesus Christ and his last physical Passover, or the last physical Passover for Jesus Christ. Turn to Matthew 26. And as you know, our Majesty King and Savior Jesus Christ became the Passover. He is the bread and the wine. He added foot washing to the service, as we heard in the sermonette. He did not change the timeline. We will cover the scriptures that pertain to the bread, wine, and foot washing at Passover, but let's look specifically at the timeline. So Matthew 26:17 says, "Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?'" Why does it say in this verse that the Passover is on the 15th and not the 14th? Jim, I'm glad you asked that question. That's a good question. Also, if you look at the parallel verses in Mark and in Luke and in John, they have different levels of what we call mistranslation. Here are some problems with the Bible translation. The term Passover in the Bible and the New Testament specifically are used for the 14th of Abib, but they're also used for the whole season or whole time. Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is also known as the Spring Holy Days. That's church speak. The term Passover in Judaism, and for some of the Jewish leaders at the time of Jesus Christ, means the evening of the 15th of Abib. This is confusing because the term Passover in the New Testament is actually used for both, and I'll show you that. For both the 14th, God's Passover, and for the 15th, this Jewish would be eventually become the Judaism Passover. The term Days of Unleavened Bread can be for all 8 days, and that's what it really should be for all 8 days. We actually have 8 days of unleavened bread, focusing on the days you eat unleavened bread, not necessarily the days you get rid or have no leavened bread with you. But it can also, we also have used it to say the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Turn to John 18. I found a Good News article, 1961, called The True Reasons Why the Jews Rejected Christ. It's a very good article by Herman L. Haig. I mean, there's some things in it that we don't teach anymore, or we've changed the teaching, but it really covers this problem between the 14th and the 15th and why the confusion of Passover. And I'm going to be doing some of the highlights from the article. I actually have the full printed article if you want to have it, and I provide that to you. I did do a little preface of some things that have changed that are in the article, but I'm going to cover some highlights. And the first highlight of that is unleavened bread is eaten for 8 days. So we eat unleavened bread. Now, I need to administratively say, so we are required to eat unleavened bread at Passover. And then it says, we have the church, the United Church of God and other churches have said that when you eat bread at the other times, so that would be the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread all the way to the seventh day, when you eat bread, you can eat unleavened bread. You're not necessarily required to eat unleavened bread each day, though I find it personally beneficial for myself to eat unleavened bread every day. Starting with Passover, eat it there, eat it for the first day all the way through the seventh. Now, I'm going to give you an engineering tip to try to help the confusion. The engineers in the room, maybe the programmers in the room, those of you who've traveled overseas will understand this. So we have 8 days of unleavened bread. We eat unleavened bread. We also have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and we say it starts, you know, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread through the seventh. So I start counting, when I do a counting of the 8 days of unleavened bread, I start the 14th of Abib at zero. I say that's a zero day. So that's zero, and then I do the first day, and I count zero up to seven, which gives me my 8 days, but also keeps the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Days of Unleavened Bread in alignment. Matthew, Mark, Luke speak of a Passover day as unleavened bread. You can read that, and that is correct, because it was a day we eat unleavened bread, but not necessarily a day that we have to have leaven out of our houses. Traditionally, the Israelites put leaven out of their homes on the 14th of Abib. And again, something that I personally try to do, though, Suzette gets a little concerned because I always have a little bit of leavening left on the 14th, and I try to get rid of it on the 14th just as a custom I have. And she always makes sure, you're going to get rid of that now, right? I say, yes, I'll get rid of that. I'll get rid of it that day, right? So that's one of those things that I do. But I find it just, I just think it makes me think of that. So in many versions of the Bible, the translators for the word feast, when you see the word feast and there are other words, you'll see those words in italics. They're actually not correct. They're not right. They should not even be there. It should literally say, if you go back and read it in Matthew 26:17, it should say unleavened bread, not the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So let's look. So there is no evidence that Jesus Christ was crucified on the 15th of Abib, what is also called Nisan. He was killed on the 14th as our Passover lamb. On the very day the Passover lamb was always slain, the Jews purposely avoided killing him on the feast of the 15th. So again, so we're under the section, the Passover is used for both the 14th and the 15th, and here it is in John 18:28. That is John 18:28. John 18, I didn't get a chance to turn to it yet. I'll do that right now. John 18:28. And it says, Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to Praetorium, and it was early morning, but they themselves did not go into Praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but they might eat the Passover. Everybody read that? The Passover in John 18:28 is referring to the 15th of Abib. This causes confusion. At the time, again, some Jews were keeping Passover on the 15th of Abib. This date would later become the Judaism Passover date of today. May I suggest you make a note in your Bibles that this is not Passover. Since this is essentially an anti-Passover, I like to use a pun and call it the falling under, not Passover. If you can, I'll explain that pun to you later, okay? Anyways. So then that brings up a question. Why were some Jews or Jewish leaders keeping Passover on the 15th of Abib? Again, Jim, I'm glad you asked that question. The article the article has many of the details, but essentially what happened is when they were in captivity under the Greeks, and this is where it started, under the Greeks, the Jewish leaders at that time decided to change the counting of the day from sunset to sunset to sunrise to sunrise. Actually made a change. And what happens is they moved the start of the 14th of Abib to the morning, 12 hours later on the 14th. So they moved that date 12 hours up to appease the governments of men, they did it to appease the governments of men. And once they changed that day, they moved it up 12 hours, then the twilight portion of this new counting of the 14th turns out to be that middle of the day, which happens to be God's 15th of Abib. You see how we got there? That twilight. So that's the history. And again, if you want to read the article goes into a lot more detail than I am. But what was nice is that under Roman authority, the Jewish leadership were allowed to change, or they did change, the counting of the days back from sunrise to sunrise to sunset to sunset, just like it's supposed to be. But not all the past folks changed the Passover to the correct time, which is sort of interesting. So again, the Jewish leadership allowed the counting to go back to what it should have been all along, but since they had moved Passover to this, now this twilight, they kept it there. It became the 15th of Abib. There was also a problem with Pentecost that I'm not going to get into, and that's what happened with Pentecost as well. So historical evidence suggests, we need to ask the question, why did the leadership not go back to Passover as it was written in Scripture? Because now, by counting sunset to sunset, it's very clear Scripture matches what you're doing in society. It's very easy to see when Passover should begin. The Bible does give us some clues, but again, it's not definitive. We know that the Jewish leadership loved fame and status. We see that in Luke 20 and verse 26. You know, they love the choice seats, they love to be greeted well, and all this other stuff, right? So historical evidence suggests that the Passover observance, this Jewish Passover observance, had turned into an event or a celebration for some of the Jew leaderships and the Jews. We don't have the details, but for the Jews to reject God's instruction, there must have been something they saw as a benefit to them. Remember, sin does bring a perverted joy in the short term. There must have been something that they thought was good, or they thought it was a benefit to keeping Passover on the 15th of Abib, which, of course, we're going to be calling follow under, right? Let's sum up this Jesus Christ's last physical Passover. They are 8 days of unleavened bread. Passover plus the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the days of unleavened bread. They added a word of feast in the New Testament translations is a mistranslation. Jesus Christ kept Passover on Abib 14, starting at twilight. Jesus Christ was tried, then scourged, then crucified, all on the 14th of Abib. Some Jews and Jewish leaders kept Passover on the 14th of Abib as it was written. Many Jewish leaders rejected God's teaching through Moses and Hezekiah and had the Jews observe an event on the 14th of Abib they called Passover, not Passover. Jesus Christ is the Passover. He is the bread and the wine. He added foot washing to the observance. Jesus Christ never changed the time of Passover when it was to be observed. Passover ended on this last physical Passover when they sang a hymn. You'll find that in Matthew 20, verse 30. Passover term in John 18, 28 refers to the 15th observance, a wrong Passover, or follow under. Let's move on to Area 3. Passover in the New Testament example. Turn to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Now, again, some of these scriptures you will be reading in your personal Bible study, and they may even read some of these on the night of Passover, but we're here to look at specifically the instructions of what we should and should not do. And it's found in 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11. I'll just read 19 through 23 to start, and then we'll switch down to 23, and we'll show what the instructions we have here. So, 1 Corinthians 11, starting in 19, "For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, is it not to eat the Lord's Supper? For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you, for I received from this the Lord, which was also delivered to you." The instruction here is that as we are blessed from God, we should help one another have the best Passover possible, whatever that means. If you see a need, fill it in. If you do things every time, there will be disagreements among us. There's actually sometimes disagreements in my household. Can you believe that? Anyways, but at Passover, there must be peace. You know, put your disagreements aside and make it peaceful. Passover is a solemn observance of the betrayal and the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Down in verse 33 in this same chapter, that's verse 33, there's some more instructions that the Passover meal, some call a Seder, is no longer required. And that Passover normally at this time had been changed, so it's not observed in the home. Let's read that in 33 and 34. "Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come." So you see, they were not at home. They were at another place assembled to celebrate the Passover. And then in two, they were not eating the full meal. If they were hungry, they were to eat their, I guess you would call it the main meal, at home. We see that. And then also for the record, this goes around once in a while, Passover is not a betrothment. It is not a proposal of marriage. That is a Jewish teaching and is not found in the New Testament. Passover is an observance of the sacrifice of our Majesty, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the beginning of everything. Let's go on to Area 4. Passover versus the night to be much observed. Passover versus the night to be much observed. The night to be much observed is different than Passover. The night to be much observed is a commemoration, and Passover, on the other hand, is a memorial service or observance. The night to be much observed is a commemorating or commending or a little bit of a celebration, God keeping vigil when he delivered the Israelites from slavery as he had promised. The theme of this observance is that true freedom is only possible with God's constant and consistent help. The spiritual parallel is that only with consistent access to and from God can we be free from sin and overcome the world. That direct access to God the Father came with the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Upon the Savior's death, the veil was torn, exposing the Holy of Holies, giving us direct access to God the Father and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That happened at his death, but it's a celebration of freedom, the celebration that with God you can be truly free and you can overcome sin, you can overcome the world. Night to be much observed is not Passover. And in the past, some have tried to historically recreate the Old Testament Passover meal. Recreating the old Passover festival meal is not required. It's not something I can tell you not to do. I've actually talked to some elders about this. I mean, you can do that if you want to, but please remember, please, that the lamb you are going to eat that night, if you eat lamb, is not Jesus Christ. It's not what it was in the Old Testament. It's a great night, but it's not Passover. The Bible does not state a specific time for the night that we must observe to begin or end. Even though the Israelites traveled all night when they left Egypt, I would not recommend for the night we must observe to last all night. This is just something to consider. Traditionally, the church started the night to be much observed in the early evening of the 15th of Abed and concluded at a reasonable time when the wine ran out, right, or something? I don't know. Anyways, be careful again, and maybe I'm beating a dead horse, not to confuse the night to be much observed with the Old Testament Passover, please. In conclusion, it's time to conclude. The United Church of God follows the Bible and keeps Passover as it is written on the 14th of Abed or Nisan. We follow the Passover very close to what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. We also follow what God instructed through Paul and the Passover meal. What instructed through Paul that the Passover meal is no longer required and that we should assemble together if possible. The United Church of God tradition of keeping the night to be much observed follows the Bible as accurately as possible by keeping it on the 15th of Abed. We teach it is a separate observance with its own special meaning. Have confidence in what is taught from the United Church of God and others. The same instruction that Jesus Christ taught directly to his disciples and to us through his word, or what Paul teaches us, he taught through Paul, or what he taught through Moses, or what he taught through Hezekiah. We keep the Passover as it was written.